You're listening to The Last Word on Hockey with Jim Behringer, Coach Jay, and Mark Weiss on Northeast Streaming Sports.
They shot a movie once in my hometown. Everybody was in it. Miles around out at the speedway, some kind of Elvis thing. Well, I ain't no movie star, but I can get behind anything. Yeah, I can get behind anything.
Everybody, Jim Behringer back again alongside Coach Jay, Mark Weiss. This is The Last Word on Hockey here on Mad Radio Network. This is season 2, episode 20. The Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. Finally, we come to the second season, and boys, it doesn't disappoint. Welcome back.
Best time
great
of year.
Hockey. Great hockey all around.
It is great the best hockey. Time of the year. Really, anybody you talk to, everybody loves the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's been nonstop games pretty much every day. Plus, the IIHF World Championships are underway, so you got hockey on from pretty much 9 o'clock at night till about 12 o'clock in the evening. Before we get to touching the series, the games we saw here on a Saturday, the previous games during the week, just a couple news and notes to get out of the way real quick. So, obviously, Nazem Kadri, the story with him and the Colorado Avalanche, he got an 8-game suspension from the Department of Player Safety for his high hit on Justin Falk in game 1 of the series against the St. Louis Blues. No surprise there with Kadri's history. And that's a play he doesn't need to make, especially the hit. If he keeps his stick on the ground, at least maybe he hits him in the chest, but there's no way that needs to happen. Very selfish play. This is the third time now he's been suspended in the playoffs. Colorado has more depth than Toronto did, but that's the second line center. I mean, they didn't need him the last two games, but still, I mean, to be out 8 games, especially as the games get harder, is not good.
Plus you wind up getting out of condition when you miss 8 games, because even practicing is never the same as playing playoff hockey and conditioning that way.
Nope. And they make it to the next round. They're going to, if they make it, which they're looking like they are, him against what looks like now, you know, the Vegas Knights, they're going to need a guy like him.
They're going to need him.
They're going to need him. The depth matters this time of year. But it looks like, you know, we'll touch on it later. It looks like Nate the Great and the rest of that squad are on a mission. And we'll touch on Grubauer too. But Avalanche sitting pretty. Also, other news of the week. John Davidson back as a president of the Columbus Blue Jackets. No surprise there.
Good.
He did a really good job putting that team together when he came in 2012. Good for him. Everybody, we've gone through it enough on this show, other shows, talking about the situation in New York. We all agree that he got shafted, and he deserves to be in where he is in Columbus. Good for him. It looks like Kekalainen is going to get an extension as well. So good to see JD back on his feet.
Yep. Good hockey guy. Great. Just a great guy all around. I agree. Move on from the circus on 33rd Street. Notice the circus isn't even in business anymore. Now it's just the whole operation.
Exactly. All right. So, and I got a couple questions already from one of my buddies about the Lightning and Kucherov, which we can touch on it. We're going to touch on the Islanders first, but we'll touch it right away. Go to the Tampa Bay Lightning series against the Florida Panthers. Tampa Bay up 3-1 in that series. Sitting pretty. The champs are the champs. And Nikita Kucherov is proving that you don't need to play in a regular season or have a preseason because this dude is on fire. Ever since he came into game one, had another 4 points today. He left the game a dirty play by Anthony Duclair with a slash to the back of the leg where there's really no padding. Hit the tissue. I mean, he wasn't coming back in the game anyway. It was 6-2, but it's probably precautionary just to hold him out. I think he'll be fine. He'll be playing game five. Same with Sergachev. I think that hit by Hornquist at the end, I think he'll be back in the lineup come game five. But the champs are showing why they are the champs. And home ice advantage really didn't matter in that series through three games. Well, let me tell you something. Tampa Bay Lightning are showing why they're the Stanley Cup champions.
100%, and I'll go back to my prediction last Saturday. I just said the champs are just like snakes lying around in the grass, man. They just coasted to the end, got themselves into the right spot they needed to be. Florida, first time in the playoffs in eons. And, I mean, the champs know what to do. I mean, if you looked at that game today, I think the shot total was like 34-17 Florida at one point, but yet they couldn't put the puck in the net because the champs know how to play smart playoff hockey, and Florida's making plays that they don't even need to make, like chasing guys into the corner and then giving them an easy pass right up the slot. And you know what? A lot of people pick on the goaltending. Was it Bobrovsky? A lot of people pick on him. I saw those goals, tips, traffic, misdirections,
wide open
court goals. You know, I understand making the change because you need to, you know, rile up the team, but I think you could have Jacques Plante in his prime in there. They weren't stopping the champs today.
Yeah, there was a lot of Swiss cheese going on. There were a lot of Mr. Simons. There were a lot of guys getting – he looked like he was in Columbus, but Columbus played a hell of a lot better defense in front of him. Nothing – but it looks like Tampa Bay kind of was like tic-tac-toe. Just they figured out their weak points. It's can't blame it on Bobrovsky, no. And I would say maybe, you know what, start Knight and give Knight a game.
Maybe they took him out just to show mercy.
Maybe, because it wasn't all his fault. It wasn't.
No, it was definitely
the goalie. Valileski won the cup, and he's playing
you're staring down at the other end of the ice, and you got arguably the best goaltender in the game today, making every save. Like, that guy just, like, he has eyes behind his head. Like, he makes saves that you're just like, how did he know to be there? How could he even been there? He's just that good.
He trusts his defense. His defense is definitely covering guys down low. So he's just concentrating on the puck. He's just following the puck.
Well, look at it during the game today. Realistically, you know, Florida could have been up 3-4-0 early, but Vasilevsky making saves, and Tampa Bay strikes when the, you know, the fire's hot. They take advantage of the opportunities given to them. A bad change on the Cirelli goal, a couple of nice deflections by Gord and Palat. Yep. Look, the only reason Florida gets back in the game is Yanni Gord takes a stupid penalty after the whistle and gets Florida back in on a power play. But the thing is that the Florida Panthers need to stay out of the penalty box. The Tampa Bay Lightning power play is too dangerous to just keep taking penalty after penalty after penalty. And like Kucherov, they've been moving Kucherov all over the ice. You could be on the left side or right side, in the middle, at the bumper. It doesn't matter. You got Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman out there, and figure out the other two guys, because that power play is so deadly, and they've scored so many goals on a power play in this series. And it's ridiculous, the fact that Kucherov cannot play 56 games, and probably, I think he has at least, I want to say, like 8 points in a series already.
He's just,
if not more.
You know darn well that if, let's say, that team needed him down the stretch, he probably would have played the last 7 or 8 games. But they were smart for keeping him out and working him hard and just getting him ready to go and keeping him away from getting beat up. And guess what? He's got better legs than everybody else who's been playing 3 games or 4 games a week for 4 months or 5 months.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear about the Barkov to blood, like open, like, free in the middle. Then getting no playmaking Tampa Bay is taking everything away from them.
They really are.
That's why I like the Champs. I said the Champs.
That's why we all agreed. That's why we all agreed the Champs were going to win this series. It didn't matter that Florida had home ice advantage. They have yet to prove they can win a playoff series since 1996. And the Champs, when they went up 2-0, they haven't lost. So they're up 3-1, and they'll see if we let's see if they close out the series on Monday, because I think they will do it personally. I mean, you never know. Again, like you said, Jay, do they start Spencer Knight? Do they go back to Driedger? Who's in net? It's too much of a carousel there. You got to pick a guy and run with him. And if they go tonight, they may be able to sneak a victory out. But the Tampa Bay has too much depth at every position to beat you. And again, you just got to stay out of the penalty box.
And you can't go into the playoffs with a goalie controversy. Like, you got three guys. Well, it's got to be one guy. It's not – you can't pick and choose like that. And then we're not talking about three immortals either.
No, I mean, Bobrovsky, like I said, Bobrovsky, he didn't play great in game one. He didn't win them the game. But I, to be honest, I thought Driedger should have started game one, to be honest, to start the series.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you're going to go with Bobrovsky, then you got to ride him through the playoffs. You can't keep taking the guys out.
No. The whole taking them out, like Mark was saying, like Mercy, like let him go. Mercy. Not all those goals were his fault. The try and that doesn't energize. It's not going to change your most of the time your team is all of a sudden going to play different.
And think about this. Let's think about this. If Tampa Bay holds on to game three of 5-3, this series is over today.
Agreed.
This series would have been over if they didn't lose in overtime.
That game three overtime loss was the best thing that happened to Tampa.
Yeah, it did. Because it woke them up again.
It woke them up again. Because this is a team that's so good. It needs to get woken up. It needs a little push. It needs a little dig every so often. You know, and like I said, number what were they? A number three seed?
Three seed, yeah.
Three seed my rear end.
Yeah, no, they're a top seed in that division. Without a doubt. But again, Tampa Bay flying under the radar, as we like to say here. But yeah,
not under the radar of the three guys on the screen right now.
No, absolutely not. But they were flying under the radar coming in because a lot of people were like, oh, injuries. What about Stamkos, Kucherov? I'm like, they're getting the two best players back on their team. I think they'll be fine. And they're a
and
different
they got the best
team.
Goaltender in the world.
They're a different team when they're healthy. That's what people
and their
don't
defense
understand.
Is really good. Their defense is really good.
You know what, guys? Maybe, just maybe, it's time people give a little bit of credit to the guy behind the bench, Mr. Cooper.
John Cooper, great coach. Wins you everywhere think? He goes.
But no one gives this guy any credit. The only time you ever hear his name mentioned is if the team is disappointing or something bad happens. It's like they treat him as like the guy who they gave the keys to a Ferrari and said, just go out and drive.
Look, Cooper is bringing the emotion last year. He's bringing the emotion this year. If you saw the post-game press conference talking about the officiating, he did it in a nice way, but he was passionate about it. He's like, look, I'm all about tone setting and stuff, but let's do it within the confines of the rules. It was
Jimmy
great.
Says nice way. He's a translation, not the Dolan way.
Not the Dolan way. No, but I'm saying, you notice these coaches are speaking out about the officiating, but they're doing it in a way where they're not getting fined, which is good.
Yeah, and also not getting calls against their own team because, well, you know what happens. You and I ref, and we try to keep emotion out of it, but when someone's on your grill all game long and saying stuff about you, guess what? On a close call, he ain't going to get it.
No, but you love the fact that Cooper's bringing the emotion because that's what the team needs. And as I was saying before, Tampa's a different team when they're healthy. They got McDonough back. They got Stamkos back. They got Kucherov back. The list goes on of guys they got back in the lineup. Champions. Right, They got the straps. Exactly. They're the champs. They got the strap. And until somebody beats them, they're the best team in that division.
And you know they don't talk about Cooper because Cooper's not going to allow himself to be drawn in like he did with that question from the reporter where the reporter wanted him to say, shouldn't the game change? No.
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 You know what? I'm tired of reporters.
You want me to whine? No, you're saying this. You're saying, you know what? It's in the game, but let's be careful now.
Right.
It's like, let's be careful. There's going to be payback.
It's gonna be fun. The series has been fun to watch. I can't wait for Game 5. It's gonna be a fun series. It's been a fun series so far. I can't wait to see it. But speaking of goaltending, controversy, not controversy, whatever you want to say, let's flip it to Long Island, where in Game 1 of the series, Ilya Sorokin started for an injured Semyon Varlamov and played really well, and the Islanders took Game 1 in overtime. Head scratcher for Game 2, you go back to the guy who was injured, but he's healthy. Varlamov looks shaky. Looked shaky in Game 3 as well. And you wondered if they would make the goalie switch again, and they do, and they go back to Sorokin, and he wins, and they win today. The Islanders win here. Even the series, I think this is Sorokin's net to lose going forward. I don't see Varlamov playing another playoff game.
Well, you know what? Knowing Barry Trotz and the way he makes decisions, you know, he's kind of like that like cagey professor. I think he's going to go with the Russian goaltender who catches with his right glove.
Yeah.
No. No, it's the Russian goaltender that catches with the left hand.
Right. You never know, but I agree with you.
As you heard before the game, Brian Compton asked him about who was going to be the starting goaltender for the game against the Penguins in Game 4. He said the Russian one, the guy who catches with the left hand. Yeah. They both catch with their left hand, and they're both Russian. So
Exactly.
It's going to be Sorokin, though. You stay with the hot hand. You should have had a shutout today. That was a garbage leg.
He should have started Game 2 because he didn't lose. He didn't lose the Islanders a game in Game 1. He played great. He played good under pressure, calm, cool, collective.
Looked like a vet.
Tough shots to start against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was looking for the dagger early. He played good. He kept everything. He made the Islanders play better in front of him. The Islanders had more confidence with Sorokin in the lineup because you could see when a couple of goals went in on Varlamov, especially in Game 3, the Zucker goal, the Letang goal, the Islanders just seemed out of it.
Like the Penguins look today.
With Jari. And the Islanders found something on Jari above the glove hand.
They looked a little slow and deflated.
A little slow in the snag.
Yeah.
But Sorokin definitely starting Varlamov Game 2 and the way he played being out, Trotz doesn't have to go back to him to please anybody. And Varlamov must know that he's being beaten out by Sorokin. He got his shot in the second game to do something to say, I'll play start Game 3, and it didn't happen. So now you just ride him.
Trotz doesn't have to go back to him because he's a Stanley Cup winning coach who has a lot of respect in this league, and no one's going to challenge what decisions he makes.
No,
but the problem was the kid won you Game 1. He should have had a shot at Game 2. It doesn't matter if Varlamov was healthy or not. The guy had an injury, and he looked shaky on the two goals that he gave up to put the Islanders down 2-0 early. And then just look at the goals in Game 3. The Jeff Carter power play goal had to be stopped. The Zucker goal had to be stopped. The Letang goal had to be stopped. The one goal, the Tanev winner, was a nice play. There's another goal. The first Carter goal was off the post and in. That was a nice shot. I mean, maybe Varlamov overplayed his angle there a little bit. I'm not really a goalie expert, but that was just a heck of a shot by Jeff Carter. But still, I mean, you look at it. That's five goals in the series now that should have been stopped. Meanwhile, Sorokin's only given up 4. You know, every goal that the Penguins beat him on in Game 1 were really nice goals. And today, it's unfortunate he didn't get the shutout, but he played really well and gave the Islanders a chance to win.
They have two different styles for sure. Varlamov needs the Islander system. Sorokin can make saves out of the context of being in a stance or a certain, you know, structure. You know, he's a little more dynamic. He can definitely make the dynamic save from one side to the next. He proved it. He looks big in net. And there's no way you could sit him now. You don't want to sit him now.
But here's the deal. When you're talking about Varlamov, you're not talking about, oh my gosh, you're sitting a future Hall of Famer like Marc-Andre Fleury or something. You're talking about a guy who's been a good goaltender, guy doesn't, you know, who no one's really hitched their wagon to and won a lot, you know. And this kid, Sorokin, is their future. Just so happens their future's today. Sometimes the future's a little bit down the road.
I mean,
but it's now.
Look, I just saw it. I was scrolling through Twitter. This On this date in 1986, young goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens played his first playoff game and got a shutout.
That Roy guy.
So it doesn't matter. Look, it's Sorokin's net to lose. The Islanders are playing a lot better defensively. Their defense is always good, but their special teams are starting to click. Barzal got to shoot the puck more. 100% agree with Eddie O. I think
Barzal. Oh, yeah.
And the Islanders have got to stay out of the box because
they have.
I agree with the commentators too, because that actually helps Pittsburgh because their star guys can kill penalties. Whereas you got Matty Barzal sitting on the bench because he's not a PK guy.
No, exactly. But Barzal got to shoot the puck more.
What's with them, Jimmy? I mean, Jimmy, you're a sniper. You like to shoot the puck. You know, you're a shoot first, pass second kind of guy because you score. Why is this guy always passing up the shot? Like, he'll make the extra move, give it away. He goes east-west better than almost anybody in this league, and yet he refuses to shoot. It's almost like old-time Ranger fans remember they used to say, shoot the puck, shoot Barry, shoot the puck. Barry, it's like now, shoot the puck, Marty. I mean, shoot the puck, Matty. Shoot the puck. He doesn't shoot.
Yeah, he's got to just shoot the puck. I mean, he's passing.
Good thing. Happy when he put the puck on the net.
Yeah, as one coach told me, shoot the puck on net or put the puck on net. Good things happen in prime shooting opportunities. He's not letting it rip. Just let it rip.
Just 100% of the shots you don't take don't go in.
Right. Look, Wahlstrom shot today. You get a nice hard shot.
It
hit off Bluger and goes in the net. I mean, you get the bounces. Look, the depth scoring for the Islanders is there. Palmieri had 2 goals in game one. Everly's picking it up. Pollock on the back end. And then the depth scoring for Pittsburgh. It's going to come down to, you know, obviously goaltending. You know, the two young guys are going battling it out between each other. But who's going to step up? Because, you know, be honest, neither team's star players are really stepping up.
I know I beat up Sid the kid an awful lot. I always do. Have high expectations for a guy who's always had high expectations from the day he came into this league. But I don't feel like he's had any presence in this series other than the defensive play where he dove, which was a great play, hit the puck with his stick and put it off the window. But the key thing is I don't see him stepping up and carrying this team. And Malkin's still injured, and he got hurt again today.
Yeah, Malkin's definitely injured and coming back in game 3. I mean, Sid had a couple.
But he's always injured.
I think he's got a couple points in the series, but he's trying to get in. He's trying to become too physical. That's not his game. Speed game is his game. Carry the puck, make plays. That's his style of game. Let's get out of the extracurricular activities.
Let the other guys do that. He's right now in my mind. He's playing milk carton hockey. Can't find him. He's invisible.
MIA.
Islander system.
It'll do it to you.
Trotz did something because we were all saying that Pittsburgh had figured out the Islander system earlier in this series and looked a lot faster. Not today, they didn't.
No, they did not.
So something was, you know, in practice.
Everyone figured out the Islander system from day one, but can you beat it is a different story.
Exactly.
Do you have the manpower and do you have the system to beat that system?
Exactly. And good defense usually trumps good offense. And as we're seeing in Winnipeg and in Edmonton, Paul Maurice's defensive system has shut down Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for 2 games. They've looked good, but Connor Hellebuyck's been the answer on
they
the one
put
side.
Together he, last night again.
He played absolutely unbelievable. Again for Winnipeg. I've been telling you, do not sleep on this Jets team. The momentum they got at the end, winning a couple of games, going into the playoffs, 7-2 against Edmonton, 7-2 against Winnipeg this year. That don't mean nothing come the playoffs. Winnipeg's a good road team, but one shot here and there wins it, and the big boys have been stepping up. And if Winnipeg's going to keep playing like that, just one goal games and keeping it close late, they're going to have a chance to win games in this series.
Jimmy, was that a panic move putting the big two together yesterday and not spreading the lines out?
No, I don't think so. I think you saw it with Chicago before when they were down in series. They would always put Kane and Taves together just to try to generate something.
When Winnipeg plays They look like they're like a big team. They're all big. They got rid of Bonnie. They don't have a sniper. They don't play that kind of game anymore. They're almost playing a complete forecheck, stick check kind of game, and they're hard and they're big in the corners. I mean, the defense was the thing that everyone was worried about. If their defense was going to be good enough,
they're playing well defensively. They really are. Vesna, Paul Maurice has got his team playing Vesna defensively.
Is here to, you know, just like Veleneski last year was probably pissed. I'm not the Vezina. I'm the goalie, but he never.
He's a defending trophy holder.
Winnipeg didn't get a chance last year to make the playoffs. Now they're there. Now Hellebuck is just like, hey man, this is great. What about me?
Look, could eventually be known as the best American goaltender ever.
Right. So, but to me, I think, you know, my buddy Eddie dropped a comment. He said, can McDavid get out of this slump? I think so. I mean, Edmonton is a good road team. McDavid will get a goal here and there. But the idea is for the Jets is to have the other guys beat you. And the other guys aren't beating them right now. If they take away McDavid and Draisaitl, the other team isn't beating you. And that was a major point coming into the series. Could two guys carry a team? And we're finding out, no. You need other players to step up. Now, it was a bad break on the goal last night for Mike Smith. Obviously went off of Adam Larson and beat him.
Yeah, but I mean, that OT goal. Those are OT goals. They happen like that all the time.
Exactly. Nothing fancy about those goals, really. But
he's holding up. He's playing good.
Exactly. Look, Smith's playing well. Hellebuck's playing well. A couple of tips here and there, and this series is a different series. But, you know, they're going to play back-to-back Sunday, Monday to get everything back on track. So that's going to be another series that you're going to need to watch, especially can Winnipeg actually win some games at home because they weren't a great home team this year.
No, they were not. But then again, has anybody in the North really been a great home team? There's no fans there. That's the sad part. There's no fans to watch the North games. All the other games that we're watching on TV, they have that extra pump because there's people in the seats.
And you could see that, you know, Islanders are feeding off it. Tampa fed off it. Carolina and Nashville, the fans are feeding off of that series. You could tell in those games that places are jam-packed. I mean, Nashville's back in the series 2-1. That's a home team series right now because each team has one on a row at home and they're feeding off their crowd.
It's a passion game. And when you take the crowd out and pump in phony noise, it just doesn't do it.
Yeah. No, the players know the difference. Players are feeding off that like a WWE freaking live event.
But it's not the Thunderdome.
No, I know.
They could sell out the Thunderdome if they wanted to right now.
They could.
True.
They could. It'd be a better product than the Thunderdome, at least.
Ouch.
All right. Good. So I'll jump around a little bit more before we touch on the big game tonight. Let's talk about the play of Marc-Andre Fleury in the Vegas series against Minnesota and former Ranger Cam Talbot as well. Both goaltenders playing really, really well. But again, Kaprizov finding ice very hard to find in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He's getting a rude awakening that what he did in the regular season cannot be done in the playoffs. And Marc-Andre Fleury continues to turn back the clocks, Jay.
He's dynamic. It's great watching. I always loved watching him play the net. Old time, just a goalie that's going to make the save, make the spontaneous what at the moment, trying to make the save, not the
unconventional.
I got to be on the knee or I got to slide this way. Everything is a taut product. Andre Fleury's always been a dynamic goalie, and good for him. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's winning his, you know, starting over Lerner.
Give it to him. I picked Vegas all the way, so it's.
It's not surprising.
That's the reason why, because they have two great goaltenders, and they don't fight with each other.
No, but it's no surprise that Minnesota took game one. I mean, they did play well against Vegas this year, but Fleury again just stomping the door. You know, it was gonna be interesting because if Vegas had lost game two, questions were gonna start to come about again about what happened last year in round two in regards to them and offense against Stastny and Demko back in their heads again. but they're starting to find their offense. Stone, Patch, Reddy, Marcia Sill, Wild Bill Carlson. They're getting it done. I think Vegas can take get a 3-1 lead here on a Saturday night.
The big thing is up by 3 goals was Minnesota. And what happened? Boom, 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 boom. The Vegas came to life. I think that's the death knell for Minnesota because they had them down. They should have stepped on their neck and ended it. They didn't. Yep. Vegas rises.
Vegas all rising. Right.
How about another guy that gets no love?
Golden, whatchamacallit? The golden.
The golden helmets? Those are ugly.
I know.
Ugly.
Don't understand why they want to wear them.
But Jay, another guy not getting enough love, who's won, I believe, 6 or 7 straight playoff games now, is Philip Grubauer out in Colorado. This guy gets no love, probably underrated goalie. Colorado dominating the series up 3-0 on St. Louis, looking to close it out tomorrow. Grubauer just playing excellent.
You don't think he was sitting home being injured, knowing he's always injured, listening to NHL Network, going
listening to this crew,
listening to us rip on.
Is he? Maybe they should have made a deal. Could you count on Grubauer? There's nothing more for a goalie than to be like, listen. First of all, they have a reason. If you say, you know what, they have a reason to say it. I haven't stayed healthy, but am I gonna look like a, I mean, this is my opportunity to win the cup. Colorado is favored. If we don't win it, it's going to be on me. So when he comes back, I mean, whatever, he's as if like he was an out. He looks so fresh.
It's like St. Louis didn't show up for this series. They must have found out some nut with a blue helmet predicted, picked them in as an upset winner.
Should we say the nut?
I don't know, man. Colorado's offense is just too good. Nate McKinnon's just putting his team on his back. Rantanen, yep. Landeskog, the depth, Brandon Saad. It's just – Colorado's just too good.
Yep. Nate looks like the best player in the game right now. No offense,
Mr. McDavid. Picked up where he left off last year in the playoffs before they got eliminated. He just looks too good. All right, but again, before we get to the game tonight, one more thing. Let's talk about Boston, Washington. Boston up 3-1 in that series. First 3 games go to overtime. Very thrilling. I did say last week that the Caps would win game 1. They did on a Saturday. They did get the victory, but we all were in agreement that Boston was the better team in the series, and they've proven it. After a bad bounce on the overtime goal, Rask shut the door, looking really strong.
He's got something to prove, my friends. You know, let's face it. He's had 2 trips to the finals and not won either one of those. And last year's kind of, you know, COVID bubble fiasco thing, you know, I don't blame him for doing what he needed to do to take care of his family. I just say that he should have done it straight up and not, you know, torn the team with him. So it's been incumbent upon him to stand up and take care of this team. And let's face it, you know, that perfection line sure scores a lot of goals in the playoffs.
But so does that depth.
So does the Taylor line now too, because now we got a legitimate 2 line for Boston.
And they got 3 lines because now Jake DeBrusque is scoring goals too.
I actually heard Jake DeBrusque's name mentioned a few times in the last few games, which I haven't heard all year. Interesting. Interesting. I'm alive against their own boy, Chara.
Patuka, Rask, baby. Move over ice on the ice. There's no – the guy's on a mission. He went into the season going, what would have happened if I would have played last year?
He should have been on.
This is his time. He came back from an injury, and this is his time. So he's definitely – you don't have to give him a pep talk. You wouldn't have to give a guy like that a pep talk.
The biggest thing for the Bruins has been depth scoring entering the playoffs. They finally have it. They got the perfection line. They got the second line with Krejci, Smith, and Taylor Hall. DeBrusque is doing his thing with Coyle. Washington's taking too many stupid penalties. Ovechkin, he's getting his goals, but the rest of the team is just not there. Losing a Vitek Vanacek in the first game was definitely hurt, but Samsonov has played well. But Boston was the best, the hottest team coming in the playoffs, and we all agreed you didn't want to play this team in the opening round because they were just riding a wave of momentum, and it's showing.
Exactly. Another team that came into the playoffs was misseeded, and you knew they were going to be playing well. Once they got their guys back, all of a sudden they went on that great winning streak. Because remember, everyone was talking, oh, the Rangers could catch them. I'm like, no one's catching this Boston team. Matter of fact, they're not going to even be the fourth place team when it's finished, and they weren't. And so,
and talk about a team going into the playoffs with two rookie goalies. They were hoping Lundqvist was going to be their goalie, and one of them was going to be the backup. Right. So they got two rookies going into the playoffs. That wasn't their plan.
But Vanecek looked good. But the problem is, he just hurt himself on that DeBrusque goal.
Yeah, that was
game one, because he was playing well for them.
No, he was.
Look, give credit to Craig Anderson for coming in and playing the way he did in game one and most of game two. You know, he played really well.
Washington's defense looks slow.
Yes, it does.
Especially the old guy. The old big guy just looks like it just keeps making Boston look good that they cut bait and ran this year and moved on from it.
Yeah, exactly. 100% agree. Char, again, getting exposed like he did in Boston. And that was the game plan entering the series. And the Bruins are doing it to a T. They're up 3-1. Look to close it out. So that brings us to here a Saturday night. Forever rivals, Toronto Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens, game two of their series. Game one, the Canadiens took 2-1. Goal by Paul Byron, shorthanded. A very close defensive game. Which I will say, the Maple Leafs wins were out of their sails after the scary Tavares injury. Glad to see he's doing well, back home, out of the hospital, playing well. JT, all the best from here, from Last Word on Hockey to you. I hope you get the message. We want to see you back on the ice sometime soon. Really good player, and all the best in recovery. That was a nasty play with Perry, the Foligno fight after. But Carey Price is the Carey Price of old, and the Toronto Maple Leafs should have looked at film of game one last year in a playing round against Pittsburgh Penguins, because when Price is hot, the Canadiens are a tough team to beat.
Sure, it's exactly that way. I want to talk about the accident, that injury. It was an accident. I'm reading people all over the Facebook groups. I'm reading people all over Twitter. Oh, that was a dirty player making a dirty move. That happened so fast. Let me tell you something. Both of those guys could have got really hurt from that move. They were both at that last second. You try to avoid. That's how it happened. Nobody wanted to see Tavares got hurt. Perry, of all people, he tapped the guy because he knows that he didn't do it on purpose and he felt bad about it. Foligno, that's old school hockey. He had to fight him because, let's face it, you got to stand up for your captain. You can't let the colors lay on the ground. You got to stand up for the guy. But the reality of it is, it wasn't a dirty play. It wasn't an intentional play.
No.
It's just playoff hockey. And everyone did what they needed to do in that play. And the fans who think that it was done on purpose know nothing about hockey and have probably never laced up a pair of bowels.
And look, what set that up was Tavares got hit by Chiarot coming in the middle, threw him off a little bit, and he turned into it. Perry trying to get out of the way. Respect to Foligno for the fight. Respect for Perry for what he did. Yep. And in the fight, if you notice, Perry just took it. He didn't even fight. He just took it.
Like, and he could have probably kicked his ass if he fought him.
But he knew it was coming. He took the fight. I mean, it was more a wrestling match, but Foligno, they both got five for fighting. And they went on. And from there, the Canadiens were the better team. Josh Anderson, beautiful goal. The Paul Byron goal was awesome. Yep. Jack Campbell did not play poorly for Toronto.
No,
the big guys, again, got to step up. But again, defense. Dominic Ducharme figured out a way to shut down Matthews and Marner. But Price is playing. It's been said a million times. It'll keep being said as long as Carey Price is on the Montreal Canadiens. As Price goes, so does the Canadiens. If he doesn't play well, the team don't play well. If he plays well, they play well. It's plain and simple.
Plain and simple. And I think tonight, that Toronto has got to come out as if like this is almost back against the wall, game seven, defending their captain. They got to come out on fire. The first 5 minutes is going to dictate this game. If Toronto comes out hot, scores a goal or two in the first 5 minutes, they're going to win this game. If they don't do that, or if Montreal stems the tide and keeps it neutral, then the Canadiens are going to pick up right where they left off with a four-line team that's really balanced, and Carey Price, future Hall of Famer, on the back end. And then I think they win that game. I think they go up 2-0. Again, I predicted Montreal in the series anyway, but I, I think the first 5 minutes is going to tell the tale of the whole game.
I agree 100% on that. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, and, you know, look at the goalie tandem now. I mean, you didn't know if Anderson was going to be the answer. And Campbell was kind of shaky. Now you look at Price and Allen. As long as Price is playing the way he did in game one, how are you going to be? I mean, you'd have to hit him with a barrage. Marner and Nylander and all those guys are going to have to get high quality scoring chances to beat him.
Jimmy, who steps into Tavares' role centering that line?
Well, it looks like Nick Foligno is going to center that line, and maybe Galchenyuk is going to come into the lineup he's definitely coming in the lineup. Galchenyuk will come into the lineup for Toronto as well, and maybe Engvall will come out for Nash will come out for Engvall down on the fourth line side. Looks like Jack Evans is going to be out for Montreal, so it looks like Kotkaniemi is going to come in for Montreal. But going to a point, you said, Jay, that Campbell was shaky. I thought he had a really good game.
No. He wasn't shaky. No. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Not that he was shaky. It was, could he handle the load, not knowing if Anderson was going to come back, coming into the playoffs?
Right. I think he played. I thought he played an excellent game one.
He played good.
I think he kept the game from being even more out of hand in Montreal's favor.
He's playing the way he did when he first took over for Anderson when Anderson got hurt, and he had that run that everyone was going, "Wow, is Campbell? You know, maybe they should just stick with Campbell." He's playing like that, and they need him to play like that because Anderson, you don't know. I mean, he's a UFA. I mean, if he's not going to win the crease. I mean, it's going to be bad news for Toronto.
Big question here. If Toronto goes down 2-0 and it's close, it's a close loss, you stick with Campbell.
I'll go Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
No.
No. Oh, you would switch? You would switch?
No.
To
no, because we're not thinking about that. You're answering that question just as if it was a normal choice. But remember the vacuum that the bubble of Toronto, that whole Toronto world with all that media and everything on their shoulders. They're playing with 54 years of frustration. The knee-jerk reaction is on the table to happen. And you know, does the coach make that move? If Anderson's healthy, I think he does.
Well,
if they go down 2-0.
Well, only like Jim said, if they lose and it's close, would you switch? Even if it was a close game that they lost, then would you switch to Anderson?
I think that they would look. That's the only move you can make as a coach to get a jolt in your team. It might not be the right move for that guy. Like,
yeah,
you shouldn't be punishing him, but sometimes you got to give your team a kick in the rear end.
That's when changing a goalie maybe to the spark that you need.
Right.
Not
right.
Like what they did with Bobrovsky.
I'm not saying
not flip flopping like the Flyers did every year in the playoffs. In 97, Hextall didn't play well. Go Garcinoe. Well, he didn't play. Go back to Hextall. You cannot flip-flop goalies throughout the playoffs. It doesn't work. You've got to pick a guy and you got to ride him.
Not unless it's the goalie's fault. Can you justify it?
Right.
But you guys know as well as I do that if you're flip-flopping goalies in the playoffs and you can't find one that's hot, you're not going to be in the playoffs for too long anyway.
No.
And in that situation, if you're doing that, then you have no goalie. And as we see in Carolina, they got Nedeljkovic is the rookie. He's playing well for them. So he's going to be their guy regardless. It doesn't matter the result. And I agree, I think Campbell, I think they make the switch because you're down 2-0. You got to do something. You have to get back in the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just to draw back on history, the Islanders didn't win anything until they decided to stop flip-flopping between Chico Resch and Billy Smith. Once they went all in with Billy Smith, they won themselves four cups. Now, it's not to say Chico was a bad goalie. Chico was an average to above-average goalie and sometimes had some really great games, but Billy Smith's a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Well, he proved to be a playoff goalie.
But that's all they needed was a playoff goalie.
Not all rise to the occasion.
Right, like but that's did. What he needed. That's what they needed was a playoff goalie. And let's face it, when you have to win 16 games now, you need a playoff goalie. You need a guy who's going to win 14 of those 16 games,
yeah.
If not all 16.
You need a guy that's going to win all 16 games. You can't go to another guy. You need a guy that wins you 16 games.
I mean, sometimes you'll get a guy who gets a little nicked up and you got to go with another guy and he steals a win or two or whatever. But for the most part, you got to have one guy to put the
not
team
to carry.
On.
Yeah, you need one goalie who's going to carry the majority of the load. I mean,
think about how many, and Jimmy, you probably can ramble them off too, but how many teams that made the finals riding a hot goalie that won 12 games for them, then they get to the finals and Cinderella's slipper falls off and they get blown away. The first one I could think about was when Minnesota, when they were back at the North Stars, when they lost to the Penguins that first year. The Penguins
91. Won the cup. Yeah, 91. Yeah.
It was John Casey, right?
Yeah.
They rode John Casey. That guy was dominant for 12 games. Boom. They get to the finals. Cinderella loses slipper. Or JD with the Rangers at 79.
I was just gonna say the next year Eddie Belfour for Chicago played really well until they ran into the buzzsaw that was the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep, exactly. Because that's the point. Those hot goalies can win you, you know, a round, two rounds, maybe three. But when you don't have the guys behind them, it's almost impossible to steal the fourth round, that finals against a team that's also a blue chipper as well.
We'll go back to when Chicago won their cup. Crawford was the guy, but I believe it was it Scott Darling who played a couple of games in the playoffs for them?
Yeah,
because he was playing hot at the right time, but they had to go back to Crawford. Look,
but that's what I said. Like, someone could win two for you, but they're not going to win this.
Right,
two
look,
and 14.
Hubauer played two games for Washington, right, and then once they made the switch to Hopi, it was over.
Exactly, but they also had the team behind them. The point is that you can get a hot goalie to carry you for two or three rounds. You can't win the cup if you're built.
I will say, Pittsburgh was able to win the cup with two guys.
Fleury
and Murray. It's 16 and 17.
Yeah.
But Murray that was more Fleury.
I think Fleury did his job and helped them win certain series, especially against the Capitals in 17. And those
classic games. Oh,
but him and Murray flip-flopping, I think, helped them win two Stanley Cups, but they did go to Murray. But Fleury was there just to be there, to be that safeguard, because they know he could win a cup.
I mean, I guess I'm waiting for Ronnie Grossman to chip in, because he'll come back with me and say, what about Toronto winning in 67, which Sawchuk and whatchamacallit? Bauer, Johnny Bauer.
Yeah.
He'll remind me of that.
Yeah, exactly. Terry Sawchuk, Johnny Bauer, yep.
But that's the anomaly. We all
exactly.
know that
it's usually one guy. It's one guy that gets you there. It's one guy that wins you the cup. You can't have two guys. If you have two guys, you have no guys.
That's exactly right. It's two divided by two. You got one. That's right. How it works in hockey. If it's 2 + 2, you got 0.
Yeah, exactly. It's
that's
it's
that's random. Why if they go down 2-0, Canadians going to Anderson. I mean, it's not Campbell's fault, but
you got to move the deck chair sometimes. On the
you got it. Yeah, you have to move deck chairs. And you got to figure it out. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight, especially in this Toronto series. I think Vegas will probably win tonight against Minnesota.
Yeah, Vegas.
I really do. But the game to watch is Toronto and Montreal, and that's about – puck drop about 20 minutes from now. So it should be a fun series. Nothing really surprising too much through these playoffs so far, to be honest. Like we said, the champs are the champs. Bees are the hot team. And if anybody's shocked that Winnipeg's up 2-0, you can talk to me, because I'm not, and you shouldn't be either. So
no, I'm not.
Nope. So everybody enjoy the games tonight. Should be fun. Stanley Cup playoffs continue. I'm Jim Berenger. We got Coach Jay. Mark Weiss has been the Last Word on Hockey, Season 2, Episode 20. We'll see you again next week.
Take care.